have your Bibles this morning, if you'll find your way to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. I'm sure you would be shocked to learn that in my younger day, meaning not too much longer after I graduated high school, I worked for about 3 months at a hotel. Now, some of you wouldn't be surprised if that's just another job added to the numerous careers and jobs that I've had down through the years, but there was a time that I thought, well, perhaps hospitality would be nice. And as I said, I lasted 3 months there. But I'm sure times have changed since that time, but there was a time when a person staying in a hotel would ask the person at the service desk at the room that they would be staying in to call them at a certain time, whether it be at 4 a.m. or 6 or 7, whatever it is. And this was known in the hotel industry at the time as a wake-up call. And so the phones would be programmed for that room when that guest checked in. They would program the phone to call that room. And on the message that would be left when the person would pick the phone up, good morning, this is so-and-so with the hotel, and this is your wake-up call. Now, in America, we use the term wake-up call to mean something that has happened to get your attention. I can recall times in my career as a funeral director hearing moms or dads or grandparents coming in to make arrangements of the funerals of their young loved ones and saying, I hope this is a wake-up call for the rest of the family. It has a different meaning to it. It calls to attention or to make us alert. And oftentimes we use that phrase to make people get serious about the things of God and the relationship they have with God. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua received a wake-up call of sorts concerning his leadership of the children of Israel. And I want us to think about that this morning, and perhaps God is sending us a wake-up call as well. Joshua chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Joshua 1, beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea in the west, shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall lead this people to possess the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that the servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then shall you become successful. I hereby commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are for your blessed word. And Lord, thankful for the encouragement of knowing that you are with us every step of the way as we travel this side of eternity. And Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the precious cross of Calvary. Lord, these dear folk would not see me this morning, God, but they would see you. Speak to our hearts. Perhaps there is one that is lost and undone without you. God, we pray that you convict them. Lord, that they repent and turn to you before it's eternally too late. Likewise, that one who is wandering around in their wilderness of sin, God, we pray that you would convict them as well, that they repent and return to you. And Lord, for whatever you do in this place this morning, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. A wake-up call. Joshua was following after Moses. Moses was right in the middle, if you will, of leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And then you'll find in verses 1 and verse 2 where reality hits. This is a continuation of those Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the first four books of the Bible there. Deuteronomy, so Moses was leading up until this point. Deuteronomy finishes in chapter 34 where Moses dies. And so Joshua here is, the Lord came to him and spoke to him and said that my servant Moses is dead. Now you must proceed. So he was stepping up. So he realizes that this job is now my job. I must lead these people. And so God shares this problem with Joshua here, that Moses was dead, that Joshua was the new leader. He was responsible. So sometimes God will startle us into reality, that a job that once belonged to someone else now belongs to us. God shares the plan here. It says Joshua and the children of Israel are to enter into this promised land. Now you can imagine that Joshua is probably at this point, like, how am I supposed to lead all of these people into this land that is promised? Moses was doing such a great job. How am I, who am I to be the one to go and to step into his shoes, so to speak, and fill those shoes and lead these people? Reality hits. But notice in verses 3 through 5 where there is some reassurance, where God is with him every step of the way. And just as God was with Moses, God was telling Joshua, I am with you. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. You know, that phrase, be strong and of good courage, is mentioned about 3 or 4 times just in chapter 1 alone. To be strong. He said, I'm with Moses, I'll be with you. And just as God is with other Christians, dear friend, he will also be there for you and I as well. God shares a promise here that there would be victory. You know, we oftentimes wonder, Lord, I don't know how much more of this I can handle, right? You ever been there? I think every child of God has been there at some point in their life where it just seems like everything is coming crashing down on you. And I'll say personal testimony that the last year of my life has probably been one of the hardest years in my life. I've been sick more this year than I've ever been before in my life. I've had more down settings and problems this year than I've had any, or I say 2024, let me rephrase that. We just started this year, right? It's a whole new year. 2024 was rough, right? I lost a business that was thriving, right? Moved states, had that whole ordeal to deal with. It seemed like one thing after another, and you get to the point where you say, Lord, you know, where are you at? And then then there's always that small, still voice that's saying that I never left you. That I am with you even through those hard times. I read a quote in a book one time. It said something along the lines that if God seems so far away, who moved? Who moved? I can tell you who it wasn't. It wasn't God. God's been there from the beginning. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And He'll be the same tomorrow. The only ones that's moving is us. But God gives him this assurance, this promise. He shares this promise that there will be victory. It may look bad right now. It may look difficult right now. It may be hard right now. Makes me think of Paul a lot, and she was very sick. She was frail. She was old up in her years, and we kept praying for her and kept praying for her. And she would always tell me, even up into her last few hours of life on this side of eternity, she would always say, "Preacher, I'm about to win." Of course, some of her family were lost, and they didn't understand that, but I knew what she meant. She knew what she meant. Other family knew what she was meaning. And it's much like Paul said, for me to live, it's all right, but for me to die is gain. I'm still going to be all right. I'm a winner either way. And so God gives him this reality. Hey, Moses has died. You now have to take the mantle, so to speak. You now have to fill these shoes and lead these people. He gives him the reassurance that he is always with him. But then notice in verses 6 through 9 that we have responsibility. Responsibility. I went to a job interview this week for a position that I've actually been wanting for the last 3 weeks, I guess. Kind of kept it quiet and just saturated it in prayer and said, "God, if you want me there, you'll make it happen." And he did. Amen. He opened the door. But nonetheless, I went to an interview, and as I was interviewing with this lady, and she's a good Christian lady, and thank God, she said, "You can have all the Sundays you want off." I said, "Well, I want all of them off, you know." And so I don't have to worry about that. But nonetheless, she was talking about some of the people that she has interviewed down through the years. And she said, you know, pre-COVID, everything was great. We never had a problem. But she says, it seems like after COVID, and I'm not getting political here. I'm just making a statement, and it's a fact. And if you own a business or if you worked in business, you know this. But she says, it's like people nowadays want premium price for less than premium work or service. And I said, I understand that. I owned a business. I know what you mean. And she said, it's hard to find people that are even willing to work because what they ask for is not what they're wanting to put the responsibility in for. God is saying here that there's this reality. Moses is dead. The reassurance that, yes, it is a tough road and it's hard and difficult shoes to fill, but I'm with you always. But with that comes responsibility. And what is this responsibility? It is to do as God says to do. Without putting our touch on it, right? I've learned down through the years, and many of you can probably say I learned that a long time ago, but it seems like you'll say, "Okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do." And then God will call you into something, and then you start putting your signature to it, if you will. That's a recipe for disaster. Do as God says. The secret to success is doing God's work and doing it the way that God says to do it. It's not about your finances. It's not about how much you give. It's not about the clothes you wear or the car that you drive or anything else. The secret to success, dear friend, is to simply do what God has called you to do and to do it well. Those words were from a Sunday school teacher many years ago. She's done passed on and now, but I remember those words as plain as day, sitting in that Sunday school room all those years ago. She said, do what you're called to do, and do it well. Do it well. That is the secret to success. And Joshua is saying that here, that you will have, God is telling Joshua, you will have good success. The biggest responsibility that I have in this life is to obey God. Simply to obey God. And with that, God shares the principles as well. He says that you will have strength. Aren't you thankful that God gives us strength for day by day? You will have courage. He said, be strong and of good courage. But that comes with benefits and the obedience. And obedience has four great benefits. And I don't think I put these on your notes. You might want to make a note of these if you'd like. But there are four great benefits to this obedience. And then we'll wrap this message up. Four great benefits. In verse 7, one of the benefits of obedience is you'll prosper wherever you go. Now, this is not a prosperity gospel that some try to twist and make this. It's not about financial prosperity, but prosper wherever you go, in that you will find that good success. Prosper in the sense that you will find those whom talking with you may lead them to the Lord. Prosper in the sense of you will not have to struggle in life. Prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, your way will be prosperous. And again, this is not about a prosperity gospel, and it's not about financial prosperity. You will have good success if we are obedient to God. Good success. And one of the greatest benefits of obedience is found in verse 9. That God will be with you. That God will be with you. And in the words of the Old New Testament, if God be for me, whom then can be against me? Obedience. Then he shares one final principle: strength, courage, obedience, and meditation. To be meditated on the Word of God. Be strong, verse 9, and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. To be Joshua had to be in the right state of mind and the right spiritual mind of being able to lead these people into the promised land. Because as you'll read throughout the book of Joshua, that there was, this was not going to be an easy task. This is one that is going to take that total reliance upon God. And dear friend, may I say to you this morning that whatever battle you may be facing in your life, whatever struggle you may be facing in your life this morning, to simply rely on God. To call out to God just as Joshua did, and hear the words that God spoke to Joshua, saying, be strong and be courageous, even though it looks bad, right? And perhaps some things that's going on in our society today, maybe that is God's wake-up call. But he's simply saying, trust in me. Trust in me. For if we are his, then we know. We'll extend a hymn of invitation this morning. Perhaps this morning you simply need to say, Lord, I need guidance. Lord, I need more faith to trust in you more. Lord, help me to trust you more in these circumstances of my life. Maybe this morning you're full of faith and you're just saying, Lord, help me to lead others to have this same kind of faith. Whatever it is this morning, will you come as we sing?